Good morning. Here we are again. Let's see. Well, I'm grateful to be back with you guys this morning, and I'm just honored and privileged that God would call me to preach from His Word and give me a place to do it. Sometimes He calls me, He says, Ricky, dust off your skills and get going. And if I'm not ready, I better get ready. That's the way I see it. So with that, I'm going to open with a word of prayer. Lord, we come before you again in song and in the reading of your scripture, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift of singing praises to you this morning here in Berkeley. And we just think about how we're joined together with so many other believers this morning who are calling on your name, who are worshiping you in praise and in preaching and of the word and in fellowship, God, of laughter and handshakes and smiles this morning as we come together, God. So I thank you so much. We thank you so much, God, for your Holy Spirit, Lord. Where would we be without your Holy Spirit, God, and the gift of your Holy Spirit that you've given to us? So, Lord, we just pray and ask. I pray and ask, Lord, that you would not make it about me today, God. Make it about you. Open my mind, our hearts today, God, to the leading of your text and your scripture, God, that you've given to us so that you can edify us today, God. Equip us and build us up, Lord, to do your work, to share your gospel, to reach the lost, the broken, and those who do not know you yet, God. So this morning we feast on your word. This morning we feast and we are filled by your spirit this morning, God. And we all come with different things in our lives today. As we think about the natural disasters, as it was mentioned, God, we think about the lives in the communities that have been broken and split apart and the families who are calling on your name this morning, God. We're grateful that we could be here this morning and pray on their behalf. Intercede on their behalf and ask you, Lord, that you'd be with them and give them comfort and direction during this time, Lord. And as we draw to the text of the beginning of your word that you reveal to us, Lord, may we see clearly how your Holy Spirit is a significant part of the work that you aim to do through the creation of the world to the end of times as we know it, God, until we join you in eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, yeah, so the Lord again put on this you know, huge topic. There's no way we can cover it in depth. People have spent their whole life studying the Word and studying these different areas of theology, trying to understand God, trying to understand the character of God, trying to understand His plan. And even though we know that God has given us all that we need in His Word, we also know that there are things that are beyond our imagination, things that we cannot understand with our finite minds, because He is an infinite God. So we cannot understand the infinite with the finite. So we're just so grateful that He leads us gracefully and He guides us in His ways. And so I wrestled for hours on this. And I will say that a good friend of mine, a dear pastor friend of mine who I was, who preached under, I was under him for many years, Mark Mitchell, he always reads from his notes. He prepares his notes and he learns to read from his notes. And he says that rather than relying on the Holy Spirit in the moment of preaching, he relies on the Holy Spirit in the moment, his moments of preparation. And I always thought that was really, really good because as you wrestle through the text and you wrestle through the concepts of this stuff, I don't just come up here and do it based on something I saw in a video or some other teachings that I heard from a professor or my own experience, which I do tie in my own experience because obviously we all have our own experience and our things that have happened with us, with the Lord. And so we share of those things as testimony. But as I take the time to wrestle through with praying and earnestly asking God to help craft a message that would be edifying, craft a message that would be, you know, glorifying to Him, I prepare my notes and I read from my notes to keep me on track, to keep us on track. And so I dearly love Him and respect and have seen how God works just miraculously in the preparation time through these messages. And so sometimes I go off and I go on a tangent on something else and I try to bring myself back and say, wait a minute, that experience isn't necessarily going to be your guys' experience. So to tie it together, we have the Word. And I'm so grateful for the Word. Amen? Amen. So this will be a six-part series over the next 3 months. And in between the weeks, that we are not together. I have some material for you to look at on your own if you guys wish. The material will include some videos and articles that will enable us to reflect deeper on the exploration of the significant work of the Holy Spirit. And some of these videos and some of these articles are things that I have read in my study time, in my preparation time, to try, again, to craft the message. So this is just a suggested stuff that you guys can follow along. Since I won't be here every week, we'll be mixing it up a little bit through things. So in your own time, it's very short stuff. It's nothing too heavy, nothing too, in your own personal time, you can just watch those videos and read those articles, and we'll kind of tie into what I'm saying. So as it was said, I will call this part one of the series in the beginning. The reason for that is I believe that in order for us to know where God is taking us, we must look at where he has brought us from. This is in the ways that he has brought us to where we are today, in his will for leading us to where he has for us to go. In this series, I will note too that when I say Holy Spirit, I mean God and vice versa, for we know that the two are one. But as described in the Holy Scriptures as having different roles and assignments, the two identifiers of God also include another one, which is the Son Jesus, right? Jesus Christ. And these three together is known as the dynamic of the Trinity. We're not going to go into that because then again, it will take us forever. Who can, you know, these topics are huge, but they're so important to explore, at least at the surface level, and to go a little bit deeper, because this is when God opens our eyes through his Holy Spirit and opens our minds to the deep things. And he gives us just enough for us to want more. He's good in that way. And I'm grateful for that. Although these three are one, God is the one who determines this character I'm going to say as God, right, is the one who determines this. When we think of God, we know that he's three. He's the Holy Spirit, and he's Jesus Christ the Son. But when we read the scriptures and we see that there's somebody who has the authority who's sending these other identities, these other characteristics of himself. He's God, so he can split himself into three and still be all-powerful and almighty into these three things. Again, that's the Trinity. That's a heavy topic. But what I see more and more of is that God is the one who sends these other parts of himself. So it's still fully him, but he's sending these things. And so I think that's significant for me as I was studying and for us to look at, to understand these aspects of who he is. Because later on in God's story, right, through the Bible that we know, and through our own experiences, we see that God is in the heavens, right, all-powerful, all-knowing, but also God is, a part of God is sent down to us, right, through Christ the Son. And when we go through the significant role of the Holy Spirit in the Gospels, we'll see that more specifically, right? But God also sends the Holy Spirit and Jesus at the same time. And God is also present at the same time. So this whole concept and this whole idea of God being three beings, but also in one, and also being with us at all times, really points us back to the fact that he is infinite, the fact that he is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-being. So he can be anywhere at all times, and he can make himself be three different entities at the same time. So, here we go. Some denominations weigh heavily on the teaching of the Holy Spirit, believing in radicalism and uncontrollable emotionalism, drawing those who follow them to worship and devotion towards the Holy Spirit, but not necessarily the triune God. Most of these believers do this in expectation of an event like what happened at Pentecost, that it would happen for them, that somehow if they let go of themselves enough, the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit would fall on them and the power of God would be revealed in an instant. But this is not what we know to be true about God. We cannot control the Spirit, and even though God has revealed some of his ways to us, we cannot say we know them all. I will attempt to establish three things. Number one is that we see in the creation account that God's work of strategic design in Genesis 1, 4 through 26, which I'll read a little bit in a little bit. And then two, that God communicates to us how he strategically reveals his power through the work of the Holy Spirit. And that is what Brother Carey read this morning in Genesis 1, 1 through 3. The Holy Spirit produces light by the breath of God. We see in God's creation, number three is the third thing that I will attempt to establish this morning is we see in God's creation his strategic and significant work manifested, meaning creation is part of God's evidence for his existence. And that's Genesis 1, 27 and through 31, the end of first Genesis. So the first thing is we see in the creation account God's work of strategic design. That's Genesis 1, 4 through 26. So the last series that we did together was on the presence and power of God. Of course, we started out again in the beginning because this is where we as people first got to know or hear about and learn about God's power and his presence. Which is again what we'll look at briefly today. And this is known as the creation story, where God created the earth, but not just the earth, also the heavens. Sometimes we think about the creation story as God created the world, you know, the earth and all the things of the earth. But also it says that he created the heavens in that text. And I wanted to pause there for a minute, and I want us to ponder this, because as I read it, and as I started to research, I was like, wow, that's something to think about, because we're an individualistic people as human nature, right? Our individualism is we think about ourselves and we take care of ourselves. This is a natural thing. We often think about what's right in front of us, not necessarily the larger picture. As we thought about the mission partners today who are in the middle of a tragic, you know, hurricane and, you know, natural disaster, and there's spiritual things happen there, as Rob was saying today. So we often just think about what's right in front of us rather than trying to ponder and think about the whole of all creation. And I love to do this sort of thing. When was the last time that you looked up at the stars and pondered on the moon and the stars? And I don't do it as often as I'd like to, but the last time when we were in Southern California, we went to Joshua Tree, the beautiful desert out there. And we went up there just to try to see the falling stars. It was supposed to be like a meteor shower thing, but we were a little too early. I read wrong, and it was like going to be at 3 a.m. So we're like, we're not staying that late with the kids. We kind of loaded up the car, and we drove there. It was windy. It was pretty windy up there, too. So we tried to get out, and we're getting blown, and it's cold. But I had a couple moments where I got to look up, and it's so dark there. And it's just like you could see everything. It was like, wow. And you feel like you're in a museum or something. It doesn't feel real. It's so beautiful. It's so majestic. You see all these stars, beautiful stars. And it just makes me awe and wonder. And sometimes they have those videos, I don't know if they've seen them, where it shows you on the earth, and then it goes up, keeps going up and up and up and up and up and up, and before it's up in the sky, it's out of the earth, it's in, you know, the galaxy. And then I feel so small. You feel so small when you look at that, when you think about that stuff, right? But in our own worlds, we are everything, right? In our own worlds. And it's not a bad thing. It's just how God created. This is how we care for ourselves, is that we have to, you know, we think about ourselves when we wake up. How do I feel? Am I hungry? What do I need to do? Like, this is just a normal thing, right? But so God created us in this way, but also when we look up or when we look out, right, to nature and to these other things that God created, we're supposed to respond in awe. We're supposed to have this idea of being selfless in that moment. And I think I shared with you guys the last time is that I've known people who have come to believe in God just through nature, experiences in nature, through being in Tahoe and being on the lakes and seeing an eagle or seeing, you know, beautiful things. And they've had this moment where they go like, whoa, God must have created this. How else could this be here? You know, they had this moment of clarity, we call it. It's how could this be? There must be a God. And that was when their journey of faith began. So I encourage you, if you haven't looked at the stars, even, you know, we have these really cool things called telescopes. I haven't looked at them that much, but we were at a fair for my kids' school, and there was several people that had these huge, like very expensive telescopes. They were looking at the stars, and people who study that stuff, right? They have names for all the stars and the patterns and all this stuff. It's very fascinating. But for me, it's just, I'm grateful for the moments. And I find this often when I just look at my children, I find these moments and just like, wow, this like living human laughing, you know, throwing things at me, you know, all the good and bad. This little guy is like, wow, how did this happen? Where does this come from? Because I think as we get older, right, we take things for granted, right? As we have so many responsibilities and we have so many things to do, it's hard to just slow down and look at the small things. when my son is just involved in wanting to look at bugs and bees and, you know, ants still on the ground, and we're like at Great America or something, like, do you want to go ride a ride? He's like, no, look at this ant hill that I found. This is cool, you know. And those little things that God just uses his ways, right, his ways to remind us that, like, slow down. Just, you know, sit next to your son and talk to him about ants and how strong ants are. I was telling him, you know, an ant can lift so much more than their weight. And those little fascinating things. But this is also the way that God created us. God not only created us to be intelligent, right? We're created in his image, right? Which is intellectual, spiritually, and moral. We carry that image of God. And this is why we are able to do great things and advance in education and technology and all these things. Because these are traits that come from our Heavenly Father, the one who created us. But also, he is the one who has all power. He is the one who deserves all glory, not us. So he has these moments, too, where he shows us through his creation and through other things that we are to just sit and wonder in awe of who he is. So in my commentary notes on this text, it sums up the creation story, suggesting you could just say God created the entire universe instead of the heavens and the earth, which we are part of. And so when I say we, I mean the earth and all its inhabitants. And I was curious, so I watched the video titled, How Big is the Universe? And the calculations and the numbers they go through are just astronomical. They're just like, wow, even the separation between the Earth and the Sun and the other planets and the solar systems and all this wild stuff, again, it makes you feel so small just to think of that reality of, wow, that's all out there. And so basically it summed it up by saying the true size of the entire universe remains unknown and potentially infinite. This is, yeah, you know, for people who study those areas, it's probably very frustrating to say that we can only get so far with, you know, what we've researched and what we've come to find is that there's no end to it as far as we know. And this, of course, points to an infinite God. This points to an infinite creator. How could something that there is substance, there is things that we can calculate about these certain things that what we can see and what we've sent satellites to see, but there's also this very unknown piece of all things in science, and you know, there's still so much research that needs to be done in all these areas. It's not all known, and so this is where I think mankind reaches its limits, and we know that these are the areas that God has not revealed to us. That video will be emailed to you, as I said, and part of the suggested material. I think it's like 11 minutes long. It's pretty cool. So the last series we determined, right, from God's word that he's an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, eternal creator, that God has a purpose for creation, and that is the way that we function. The way that we function, right, is what we read in the Genesis story, is that God created all the things, and then he sent things to operate. You know, sun come, things grow, fish, you know, eat. We call it the food chain, right? It's a bit, right? There's a way that things are operating, right? And my son always talks to me about, what do they eat? What do lions eat? What do, you know, antelopes eat? And I'm telling him, like, yeah, there is kind of a food thing way that they go. And even though they have teeth, they still eat vegetables and things, you know, right? But this again points back to God. I mean, oftentimes we look at the National Geographic and these TV shows and other things, that all this stuff points back to a strategic development, I believe, in creation and the way things go. Being made in the image of God enables us to reflect his goodness to all creation. But that's not all. In his love, God wanted a relationship with us. He wanted to share with us the fullness of joy found only in him. So Genesis 1, 4 through 26, I wanted just to read some of it. So as we read it, we can see this strategic design that God had. And we know that God is precise in his creation and strategic. I'll start at verse 4. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. Okay, that's a mouthful. Thank you, God. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. So God was very strategic just in the way he created days, the way he created the sun and the moon and the way that that operates to give us days. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth and the waters that were gathered together. He called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetations, plants yielding seed and fruit, trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, and earth according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which in their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. So this goes on and on. I know that we're all familiar with the Genesis creation story, but it's just so interesting to read through it and to really, for me, to really focus on the strategic plan that God had through his creation of all these things. There's a strategy, right? There's a story, and it was even documented, right, in such a way that it points back to God's strategic design. And for me, this is important when we start talking about things like the Trinity, because this is, right, the Trinity and the power and this Holy Spirit. Because if from knowing how religion works, the whole idea of Jesus, right, was so confrontational, even to the followers of God in his time. They denied him, right? They rejected him. Of course, that was prophesied, but the whole idea of Jesus as God was very confrontational, and the whole idea of God sending the Holy Spirit to us, to his people, is also very confrontational. But that's why God gave us his word, so we can look back on the truth, the timeless truths about who God is and how he works. So as we study through these things, the triune God, we study through the idea of the Holy Spirit, the works of the Holy Spirit, we find out that it is significant. The work is significant. It's not by chance. God does have a plan for the work of his Holy Spirit. And as we look through his word and we look within ourselves, for those who are believers, right, for those who have given their lives to Christ, confessed that they're sinners, repented of their ways, and confess that the Lord died, and the Lord was sent, that the Lord died, he was the sacrifice, that he was raised. And for those who are baptized, right, and receive the cleansing of the Holy Spirit, we then have wisdom. God then gives us wisdom to know these things and to understand these things. Hence the calling of preachers and teachers for us to help, right, help go on a journey together, right, through our experiences and through our lives, to try to make sense of these things. And we know that God is not a God of confusion. So that was number one, that we see in the creation account, God's work of strategic design. And as I said, it's something to me that it leaves me in awe of, just knowing that even the little thing is a seed that goes into the ground, right? Has soil and has nutrients, has water, has sun, and it grows to be things, right? It grows to be beautiful things, food, flowers, and all these other things. And so it's just fascinating. As we look forward to the significant work of the Holy Spirit, this really is the platform and the foundation that I'm going to rest on in my studies and my time is going forward, always bringing it back to the Holy Spirit wasn't just at Pentecost. Right, a lot of times we think of the radical movement of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of Jesus, and then at Pentecost and the church, the movement of the early church. We think of that as a significant role of the Holy Spirit. It is, but we have to always remember, right, that it started at the beginning. The Holy Spirit was with us at the beginning and throughout all time. So number two is that God communicates to us how he strategically reveals his power through the work of the Holy Spirit. God's breath of life. And Genesis 1:1-3, as Brother Carey read, the thing that gave light was God's breath. God's breath brought light, right? And so we know later on, right, that Jesus is the light of the world, right? He's the light of the world because the world had gone darkness because of sin. But we see the Holy Spirit's work significantly starting with the beginning of creation, and not only that, the beginning of light itself. I almost chose Isaiah 55 to do today, but God continued to bring me back to the beginning. We have to start at the beginning for this idea of the significant role of the Holy Spirit. But have you ever heard the saying that God works in mysterious ways? Right? This has become a cliche saying that people talk about. God works in mysterious ways, right? And I was just at a convention with some friends of mine that are, they're in like a 12-step recovery thing, and they're all trying to find God through their diseases of addictions and things like that. They're all trying to find a relationship with God through a 12-step process that was strategically created to meet people who are spiritually wounded, spiritually broken, people who have deep trauma, just all kind of mental health, different things. And it's funny how the guy, yeah, he said that to me. I just met him. He was talking to me about his life, and he said, God works in mysterious ways, man. And I was just like, oh, I was going to use that for this message. So thank you, God. This is an affirmation. I'm supposed to use that text. And so I looked at Isaiah 55, right, where this is kind of the text that this saying comes from. It's verses 8 through 10. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The rain and snow fall from the sky and do not return, but instead water the earth and make it produce and yield crops and provide seed for the planter and food for those who must eat as well. So we will take a deeper look into the work of the Spirit throughout basically the Bible. I have to touch through the six parts. I have to touch through it all to get to right to Revelation, where we have to touch briefly on all that to look at the significant work. But Isaiah 55, I think 8 through 10, beautifully illustrates the core message of this and reminds us how we should perceive God's ways as God takes us on this beautiful journey, both individually, corporately, as a church, and then and as the kingdom of God. I think it's just a beautiful way to keep ourselves grounded and centered on God. Lets us see a lot. God lets us know a lot. God leads us and shows us a lot. But His ways are not our ways. His ways are not our ways. We love to. It's great to feel like we know everything about something, or just to feel like we know things, right? We're confident in our thinking and the way we do things in life. But when it comes to the things of the Lord, we can only go so far as to what He reveals. In verse 10 of Isaiah 55, God reminds the people that the rain and snow fall from the sky and do not return, but instead water the earth and make it produce and yield crops and provide seed for the planter and food for those who must eat. This is again God, and we know that Isaiah, right, this is a prophecy for His people that God is going to redeem them and save them. And He reminds them, look, I created the seed. I created the snow. I created the water, right, through the Holy Spirit, right, prophesying through Isaiah. He's saying, look, I'm going to save you. Don't worry. And just, you know, you guys are doing your thing and you guys have fallen away from grace, but I'm going to redeem you. And remember, I created the heavens and the earth. Remember, I created the seeds and I created that produce crops and for the planter and the food. I created the rain and the snow that fall from the sky. And so He is the creator of all things, and only through Him can anything be done. And this is a reminder, again, of the creation story. So I wanted just to read Isaiah, the whole thing of 55 is 13 verses, just for some context, and also just because I love reading the word. It's just, it has so much richness and depth to it. So some translations calls this, the Lord gives an invitation. Some translations, that's the title of this section. And so I want us to imagine the work of the Holy Spirit as I read the 13 verses from Isaiah 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for what is not bread, and your labor for what that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love of David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, And a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. So, as we know through the wisdom literature, right, and the prophecies, that this is God extending his word, his plan, his strategic plan to his people, continuing to remind him that he will sustain them, he will fulfill them, that he created them, that he has a plan for them. And this is God saying, look, I remember I created the world. I created the heavens and the earth. You know, look to the skies. look, it's what I have created. Be still and know that I am God, right? We know this in the text, in the verses. And God, in his gracious way, strategically tells us, down to the idea of the thorn becoming a cypress and things like this, so that we can understand and have faith, right? Do not lose faith, for I am with you, for I am the Lord, for I sent this word to you. Now, this is a work, this is an extension of the work of the Holy Spirit. God sends the Holy Spirit, and he sends angels. I think in the first series that we did, we talked about the cherubim. We talked about the fall in Genesis and how God sent cherubim, which is angels that look like creatures, to guard the Garden of Eden. And we know that it has been said that, you know, if you've never seen an angel, maybe you have. The idea that God sends angels in human forms to give us messages, to encourage us, to inspire us. And I know that we've all had different experiences through praying and fasting and reading God's word. God has spoke to us in dreams, and God has spoke to us, many of us, in different parts of our lives. So we know that the Lord works in mysterious ways, but he's given us the truth that we can rely on, that it is in fact him working in these ways, and he does have a purpose for the ways that he works. And I think for me, this is the challenge, or maybe for all of us, is that as we wait for the Lord Jesus to return, we continue to need to rely on the way that God works. That's the challenge for us, right? Because when will the Lord Jesus return, right? And when will that happen? And how much destruction and chaos and natural disaster and how much death, right? How much things will we see and hear about and endure on the earth until he comes? So God gives us his holy word, again, in his grace and his mercy, to continue to remind us that what we see today, what we are going through today, which many people call as the end times, right? You've been saying that for a long time, hundreds of years during the end times, which I do believe. But as we know, too, that, like, you know, in 1 Peter, it talks about that a day to the Lord is like 1,000 years, you know, to us. So it makes sense. But ultimately, And when I talk with people about the things that are happening today, I say, I see a pattern of what happened in the Old Testament. I see a pattern of God's believers, right, walking, kind of drifting away from their faith because of the challenges of life, and now going to other churches, you know, other religions. You know, they start intermixing with, there's people who marry someone who's a Buddhist, and then they go to their Christian church on Sunday and their Buddhist temple on Wednesday. Right? You see this kind of stuff happening, which really is a repeating of what's happened throughout the whole Testament, which, you know, is again, God's people, right? having doubt, having fear, being impatient, right? And this isn't anything bad on anybody. This is just the sin. This is just the brokenness of the world, which again leaves us to say, so how can we endure? How can we press on? How can we embrace the kingdom of God, right? How can we do the mission that God has called us to do, right? How can we share? How can we continue to persevere and share the gospel and you know, expand God's table? He's a big table. He's saying, God says, bring the people to me, I'll sort them out, right? I'm gonna sort them out. Bring the people to me, share the gospel message, you know, encourage them, feed them, help them, clothe them, do all these things. But more than anything, share with them that they are living in sin to a certain degree. Maybe some is worse than the others, but they are living in sin. And the only way to know God, the only way to come to know God, to come to know the Holy Spirit, is through repenting, right? Is to turning from our ways, repenting of our sin, and confessing, right, that Jesus is Lord and that it was the power of God that raised him from the dead. And this is our mission as a church, right? And it does grow wearisome sometimes. It does get challenging sometimes. I know that this church, our church, is going through, your guys is going through seasons of change and challenges, and you must pray and fast and ask the Lord for wisdom and guidance. And this is all, you know, this is man. This is what happens, is that we get to the end of ourselves through our best efforts. We always will reach an end of ourselves. And that's why God sent the Holy Spirit. That's why God says, if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, this is what you must do. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you will be empowered to do the work that I have called you to do. That's why I spent hours wrestling through this text and wrestling through this, because I could get up and speak from my own experience about the Holy Spirit and what I've heard and what I've seen and what, you know, things like that. But I'm convicted and I'm drawn to the Word, and let's say both my experience and what God says. This is the truth, because God's Word is the truth, and my experience is the testimony of what His truth has done in my life and our lives. So God continues to be gracious to us and to encourage us to keep fighting the good fight, right? To keep pressing on, to not look back, to keep our hands to the plow, do not look back. That we are the body of Christ, we are the family of Christ, even more than our own relationships of parents and children, husband and wife and siblings, even more than that. We must love God more than that. We must love and seek Him before all things. If He is to lead us and guide us in the way that He has for us to go, we must be diligent about prayer. We must be diligent about seeking Him. And the way that God has given us to do that is salvation through Christ, right? But wisdom through the Holy Spirit. Wisdom and guidance and direction through the Holy Spirit. That's why there's a triune God. God is the one who has all power and all authority. He sends Jesus, right, to bring forth the messenger, the Holy Spirit, right? Which we know when Jesus descends, He says, I'm sending someone down for you guys. Don't worry. Don't leave, Jesus. you've done so much great for us. He says, don't worry, I'll send someone down to help. So that's the journey we're going to go on as we look further into the significant work of the Holy Spirit. But number three is we see in God's creation His strategic and significant work manifested, meaning creation is part of God's evidence of His existence. And that's Genesis 1, 27 through 31. And this was, so verse 27 says this, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish, over the sea, over the birds, and over the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, of all the earth, and every tree with seed its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the heavens, to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. So God created, right, all the things that man is supposed to govern. So this is, for me, this is the first time that God says, look, I created all this stuff for you to have, for you to watch over, to you to steward. And this also reveals to humans, mankind, Adam and Eve, that God was the one that created all these things. This was God revealing to his existence, right? That through his creation, he's the one who did all these things. And he told them, said, hey, look, I created all these things, by the way, just so you know. So as I send you out to do what I command you to do, just keep in mind and keep this in your mind that I created all these things. Also in Genesis 2:7, right? God breathed life into the man. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed it into his nostrils, the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. Mankind has made great progress and fascinating discoveries of the things that God created, but that does not make us like God. It does not make us God. And this was the original fall, is that we wanted to be like God. And this is what some are doing today through unbelievable discoveries. They think that science neither disapproves or approves, right, that God exists. Although it gives for many reasons for not believing God exists, that's pride and ego, which is a sin in a fallen world, which we know is foolishness, right? For God has shared with us how all these things have come to be. And the truth is, I believe that God allows these discoveries in order to reveal his ways and fulfill his words, right? And we know that. We also looked at this scripture through the evidence of God through his creation in Romans 1, 19 through 20, right? It says, because what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. God has made it plain to them through your discoveries. This is because you were made in the image of God intellectually. Your mind is allowed to discover this stuff. God allows you to see it. And if he wants to close it off, he can. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen because they are understood through what has been made. So people are without excuse. Knowing this enables us to see, believe, and trust God's plan for humanity and for the world. When we dive deeper into the significant work of the Holy Spirit, we will rely, as I said, on the foundation of all creation and God's strategic plan for all that he created, which is the entire universe, not just the earth and the animals and the people. God created the entire universe. So I wanted to just briefly wrap up with testimony, with my own experience. And as I said, Rod will email, or someone will email out the videos. There's two videos, and then there's an article that was what I read and kind of watched during this process. So for me, you know, as I think I mentioned with you guys, and something you'll come to find out, is that I'm someone who's transparent. I think it's important to be transparent. And talk about my flaws and my challenges in my life and the sin that I've struggled with, because that's what brings real testimony to God. And so, you know, as I mentioned, there was a time when I made some really bad choices, you know, and I had gotten, you know, led down a path of addictions and things like this that brought me to jail. I ended up in jail. And that's where God found me. God found me in a jail cell, desperate, broken, you know, crying out, right, for help, but not to him yet, because I didn't know who he was, crying out, someone help me, like, I don't want to live this life anymore, how can I do this? And I'm not sure if I mentioned to you guys, but my grandparents were missionaries in New Mexico and the Navajo Indian Reservation. So my mom was adopted, so she was adopted into a missionary family, and so my grandma would always say, we moved away from New Mexico, we came to California when I was very young, my grandma would always say, you know, I'm praying for you, on the phone, she would say, I love you. I'm praying for you. And I believe God answers prayer. I believe God answers prayer. Don't lose faith. I believe God answers prayer. I had no relationship with God at that point. My mom brought us three here. My family was divorced. My mom brought the three kids and her to California to start over, to make a new life. And she worked very hard. She worked a lot of hours. And so we didn't go to church. We didn't do those things. We drifted away from our faith. My grandma was the last line of defense, you know, for us, just saying like, I'm praying for you guys. And prayer works. We know that prayer works. Prayer brings people into these churches, the prayer brings people into, and God finds people all over the place. We see that in the Bible. God went out to people and found people in all different kinds of towns. And when they came to him, they had all different kinds of problems. They were all, you know, sick, diseased, addicted, you know, all kinds of stuff, you know, prostitution. Like people, when people came to the Lord to hear him preach, they had all kinds of things going on. So that's nothing new of the way that God works. But I remembered in my moment of desperation, I just remembered that thing that my grandma had told me. And I said, maybe I can pray to God. Maybe I can pray to God and maybe he'll help me. So I got on my knees, and I had a vision of, it flashed through my mind, a vision of me being on my knees praying and crying out to God. So I did it. I didn't know I was supposed to, I didn't know you can get on your knees and pray. I mean, I didn't know that there was a position you're supposed to, you know, be in when you pray, like your hands, or I didn't know anything. I had this vision of like, I'm sitting actually at our table, there's a little table there, and I'm writing a letter to my sister, and I had a vision of me getting on my knees to pray to the Lord. And before I knew it, I saw water on my paper, drips of tears that were dropping down my face. This moment of humility. And I know now that it was the Holy Spirit. It was God coming to me, opening my heart, softening my heart, turning my eyes to Him, turning my heart to Him. So I got on my knees and I prayed, God, if you would have this life, if you want what's left of this person, you can have it. And I got up from that day and my life was changed. My life was changed. God set me on a trajectory, right, to follow Him, to seek Him, to know Him. And this is how I've gotten to where I am today, is through prayer and through, fasting and through asking for God, give me opportunities, use me, Lord. And He does this and He continues to grow and change us. And we know that the work is never finished until He returns. So we're always in process of changing. We're always in process of renewing. And so the fourth thing I put on the suggested study thing was everything has a beginning. And for us in Christ, it was a new beginning when we gave our lives to Him. We're baptized and transformation begins. So if you want, during the next few weeks, briefly write out your own story of when that new life started for you. If you want, you can go back to birth and talk about, you know, those things and those things in your life that brought you to knowing Christ and to turning your life to Him. But also, I want us to try to think about how the Holy Spirit has worked in our life to transform us, because that's the whole point of this series, is not just the fact that, hey, we said the prayer, we did the thing, we got baptized, right, and now we're believers and we go to church every Sunday. It also is, how is God strategically working in your life to transform you to become like Christ? And so we get to enjoy those blessings here on earth. People get blessed around us by our lives being changed, by us doing and serving and helping others. So that's what another suggested piece is that you guys can write about that part of your story. And then I'll end with prayer, and I think we'll do communion, and then I'll see you guys in a couple weeks. All right? Sound good? Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time. Again, Lord, thank You for Your significant work of Your Holy Spirit, God. I just pray and ask that You'd be with each one, God, as they think about and pray about writing out their own story, Lord, of how it began for them and how You brought a significant and strategic work and plan in their life, God, to call them specifically for the kingdom of God, for Your kingdom, to be with all of us in eternity, God. And that is not a light thing that You did, God. That is a very significant and special thing, God, that we are Your called people. We have been called to do Your work, Lord. And so that is a very special thing, God, and we thank You for that. And as each person writes out their story and their testimony, God, may You remind them of Your plan for their life, no matter where they are today, but that we can look to You, God, and know that You are rich, that You are glorified, that You are all the things You said, and that You fulfill Your promises. So may You be with us now, no matter what we're going through. May we always feel small in the presence of Your mighty power that is creation and all the things around us. In Jesus' name, amen.